Hey everyone, welcome to Be the Change. My name is Lily Mott, and today I'm going to be talking about how change comes when you take failure as a way to relearn, rethink, and redirect yourself. My guest today is Anushka Sinha, and she is a feminist and gender equality activist who is working to ensure that young people in the Global South have access to education, mentorship, and economic opportunities. I learned a lot from this conversation with Anushka, so without further ado, let's get started with this episode featuring Anushka Sinha.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anushka. I'm 21 years old. I am a gender equality activist, a very proud feminist, and I work with young girls and children in the Global South to ensure that they get access to education, mentorship, learning, and economic opportunities so that they can become their best empowered selves. I have been doing this since I was 10 years old, so it's been over a decade of this work, and I've learned so much. There have been so many challenges, pitfalls, but there's also been growth, which I'm grateful about, and I'm excited to share more.
That is a great way to get started, and I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. So you mentioned starting this work around 10 years ago, and I would love to know more about how you got started. Can you tell me about what inspired you to get started with this work?
Incredible question. I think I come from a place of, I grew up in the northern part of India, and I saw disparity firsthand and what it meant to be a girl that is, deprived of their rights and not given the opportunity to choose what their education looks like, what going out and choosing a hobby looks like, something as simple as those things. And then I also saw the very grave side of it, where I saw kids being used as laborers on the field, kids not being able to grow up in a safe environment where they're inhaling asbestos gases and all the harmful things that kids should not be at. And so when I saw those two sides of lives that children were living and the grave violation of human rights, I felt as a 10-year-old, there's not much I can do. So the first feeling that I actually felt was of being hopeless and of not being able to do anything, because we were really ingrained with the idea of, you first go to school, graduate, and then get a job, and then you go out from there, and then somehow you can donate some amount of money to ensure that you're doing your bit. And that idea didn't really sit right with me, because if I sat still and didn't do nothing for the next 20 years of my life, I wouldn't really know where the world would go. Not just for that girl, but for ourselves, because we are the future generation. So I decided to speak to my mom, who was an educator herself, and she really redirected me and told me that everybody comes in with a purpose. No matter if you're a 10-year-old, you have your own set of skills. You might know things which, a kindergartner might not know. So I started out by tutoring little children. I'm tutoring them with simple math and English. And that kind of branched out into me, mentoring and giving them access to more educational services and opportunities and school supplies and food and nutritional drives and doing all the different things that I do now. But it really started with a very simple idea of, what can I do now? So that passion and that drive at 10 years old to ensure that I'm doing my bit really led me to impact and work with over 100,000 young people. So it was very simple, but also a very determined me at 10 years old.
Definitely. And I think it's so great that your mom gave you that advice and that encouragement to make a difference and help others. So when it comes to your education activism, what are your hopes for the future? And actually, first, I would love for you to tell me a little bit about the projects that you're working on right now, and then also how you're hoping to continue making change in the future as well.
That's a great question. So let's just begin from the beginning. I started out by tutoring kids. I started out as a volunteer. I decided to work with people locally in the community that I came from and to understand what their pain points are, what is the problem that they're going through, and why is it that they're not able to send their girls or kids to school. And so I started out with that. I worked with local nonprofits, NGOs, schools, And then I started out by creating programs for these kids as I grew older by 12. And then I partnered with libraries and schools and public schools, especially to ensure no school supplies went to waste. And kids who had the need got connected to mentors and teachers who could help tutor them, because not everybody could access, paid tuition services, which is what we call them in India. And so that's what I did. And then at 12 years old, I also became one of the youngest radio jockeys in my country at the time and ran 4 successful seasons of my own radio show where I would speak to young children in the rural areas in India about taboo topics, about menstruation, sexual and reproductive health care, and bring in experts, bring in young people like them to speak to me on that show. So it started out from the very grassroots level. And then I had my own youth-led SDG-focused organization come up into being. And we first started focusing on all of India, all the 29 states. So currently, we are present in all of the country and 10 countries in addition to India. And we focus on providing young children get access to school supplies, whatever that may look like, and access to educational opportunities, such as connecting them with teachers, online assignment services, remote classes, remote learning, and also opportunities so that they can further their progress just also outside of high school and what it looks like in their university level and beyond. And then I have another program which focuses specifically on empowering girls, which is called Girlitical. What we do is we provide peer-to-peer learning, a safe space and community of girls and women who are already doing incredible things in their fields, and also just a role model that they can look up to. Because oftentimes as a girl, I felt that I didn't have a lot of people to look up to. I was questioned and I was criticized a lot of times for raising my voice. So I want the other girls that come after me to feel supported and for them to feel seen and heard. And so that's why I created this program, and we mentor girls to get access to better opportunities in the economic and growth field. And other than that, I also have another program. As I said, I stress upon giving them access to supplies so that they can go to school and so that financial and economic situations don't become a barrier. So what we do is we give them access to any kind of things that they need in order to prepare for school well. And it's called the Happiness Drives. And when I was also working with these kids, one of the biggest barriers to them not going to school was education plus not getting access to food. So these children, their parents said that it would be better if I send those 2 set of extra hands to the field to earn for the day as a labor, because we need to put meals on the table. So what we did is we incentivized that learning with the Happiness Drives Meals program, where we would give them access to nutritious meals every single day of school, and for the other states, every other week. So to ensure that kids are being fed at least in a way that's healthy for them and that they're not skipping school or skipping meals, any of the others. But yeah, that's what I do. And other than that, I'm a very passionate activist. I work with the governments, work with the UN and also other bodies, and make sure that I'm making these voices heard at the global level, because if there's no concrete change happening, there's not a lot we can do alone, only through change at the local level. But I make sure that I take their voices to the global level and bring about movements-based change.
I think that is very interesting, and it seems like you have so many different projects going on, which is exciting. So, as far as some of the challenges that students are facing in your community or in other parts of India, can you tell me a little bit more about those barriers to education and to opportunities that students are facing? And I don't know that much about the education system in India, so I would love to learn more.
Absolutely. I think our realities differ so vastly when we talk about kids that are growing up in the global south, especially in developing countries like mine. We tend to think that education is a fundamental right on paper by constitution, but it is not a reality for a lot of people. It is a privilege. For me to say that I was educated in a good private school, and I went to school for all 12 years without any barriers or restrictions, and that I get to make that decision with my parents standing by me, is a big privilege. Not every girl gets to do that. Some of them are married young. They are victims of child marriage, or they suffer gender-based violence. They suffer a lot of prejudice at the hands of a community which is very rooted in patriarchy and misogyny. And so understanding that every one of us has had a different reality growing up in the same country, that didn't really sit right with me. Why am I supposed to get an education while someone else is supposed to struggle for it? But that really became my own reality when my dad passed away. So I was 18 years old when my dad passed away, and my mom and dad, they were really strong allies. My mom still is, of my education and me being empowered. And so I've been doing this for the past 8 years now at that point when I was 18. And as soon as my dad passed away, there's people popping up in the community telling my mom that she doesn't even have a male heir, she doesn't have a brother. You know, why not get her married off? And for the first time in my life, I see people being outrightly disrespectful of what me and my mom stand for, which is empowering other people and ensuring that everyone gets access to education. So although this was not the only time they'd done it, this was the first time they did it blatantly on my face. And so that really, really told me that the work that I do has to, you know, continue going on, because this sadly is the reality for so many young girls. If I call myself empowered today and it still happens to me, I don't know how worse the situation is for other girls. So after that happened to me, I continued making sure that my work was even more faster and more immersive, and it reached more girls. And that's why we expanded to a lot more countries faster, to ensure that we were reaching the most vulnerable. And growing up in a country like that, where your parents might be daily wage earners, or where your parents are working as cooks or, you know, house helps, and they're earning less than $1 a day, and they really need to survive on the high, you know, rising inflated prices of today's economy, it just doesn't serve anyone right. And so the idea is that they have so many kids sitting at home, they can't really afford to send them to school. They don't care if it's free education or not. Their motto and purpose is however many hands they have in the field, the more that they earn. And so they instead decide that they'll send their child to school to get, you know, get them more money earned per day so that they can have some food to eat. And so this is harming not just the kid, but everybody. It's harming the community. It is harming their family. It is harming the economy, and it is harming the community, because we're weakening what the future generation looks like, because these people will again turn out to struggle and continue to be in the same cycle of poverty, and they'll not ever get access to education. They'll never ever get access to good economic opportunities, and thus they'll continue to run in that hamster wheel of never coming out of this. And so I have faced a lot of challenges that are at the very grassroots level, and that are, you know, there's different challenges at the systems level, advocating as a young female person of color, you know, navigating through that is a very different thing. And there's skepticism, there's people always saying 10 different things, you get abused, you get, you know, called names, you get told that you're incompetent, and what you're doing might not ever make any change. So there's that kind of criticism. And then there's problems going around speaking to families, them feeling like you're an invader in their house, and you're thrusting down these programs, and that they're not really interested, but making sure that you're not being an invader, and but also an empathetic listener. There's been different challenges at different levels, but being an activist and being somebody who really wants to ensure that these people understand what's going on and that they become aware. If not, they send their kid to school the first day, but at least they know something new about what's going on, and they become some kind, it brings in some sort of awareness into their minds, is what my purpose is. So even though there have been challenges at all different levels, I don't really stop, and I don't get discouraged so easily. I would get discouraged earlier when I started out. I felt that there was nothing I could do, but I had that constant push, and I knew that if I stop, there's so many more out there that cannot do even what I'm doing, because of the resources I have, because of the voice that I have, and because of the support that I have from my parents. So I just wanted to ensure that I kept going. And now that I've overcome a few of these challenges, some still continue popping up to this day. And I ensure that the work that I do is what I do with full confidence, trust in myself, as well as a lot of courage. And I do not let anybody's opinion stop me, and I do not let mean people stop me. And so, yeah, there have been challenges, but I would say they've been great learning opportunities for me to never give up.
That is so inspiring, and I think it really segues well into the last question that I'm going to ask, which is about your advice for young changemakers who may also want to get involved in this work. Lots of young people want to make a difference, but they may not know how to get started. Do you have any advice for those people who may be listening?
This is a great question, because I do have so many young people who reach out to me, and they always have a question: what do we do? I'd first like to say, don't be afraid to be bold. Second, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Don't think that you might not know a lot more than that person who's already a seasoned professional in the room. Know that you're capable, and that is why you're in that room. Do not be shy. Do not let any kind of fear hinder you from saying what you have to say openly and freely. And in terms of starting out, I'd like to say, just start locally, build yourself up, understand what causes affect you in your local community, and how you can go about changing that. Once you understand the narrative in your community and you're able to stir some change, understand those pain points and take it to the next level. Maybe work across different states, understand what their problems are, bring together an idea, form a solution. Don't try to skip steps. I'd like to say a lot of people have specific places or organizations they want to work with. That is all they want to do. I'd like to say, if you're really passionate about making change happen, start locally and start making change in your community. Start changing the lives of those who live around you and see the magic happen. Once you start doing that, you'd really be able to become somebody who doesn't only change lives, but also impacts what your community looks like for the next 20 years or 30 years. You're really making change in real life. So it's not just the numbers. Start locally. That's my biggest advice. Build yourself up. Do not be afraid. Do not fear any kind of critics. Always take failure as a way to relearn, rethink, and redirect yourself. Do not ever give up if you've been rejected from this place or opportunity that you really wanted to get into. Try again next year. If you do not get that grade in high school and you think I'm a failure, don't let that hinder you from pursuing anything. I will be pursuing my goals as a human rights lawyer next year, and I never let any kind of failure or any kind of harsh critics come into the way of me doing that. So do not let anybody ever stop you from doing what you want to do, no matter how hard it may look at the first time that you started doing it. The journey might look like a very steep uphill climb, but at the end of it, it is a climb, and it is something that's doable. It may take time, but it is doable. So don't ever give up, and don't ever let anyone belittle you for your dreams. So that's what I have to say.
I think all of Anushka's advice really speaks for itself, and I was inspired by her motivation to make change and achieve her goals. I especially liked Anushka's approach to failure as an opportunity to relearn, rethink, and redirect yourself, because that is such a motivating way to accept setbacks and continue chasing your goals. I am definitely going to keep Anushka's advice in mind, especially as I make some changes to the podcast and work on expanding Be the Change Media Network, because change comes when you take failure as a way to relearn, rethink, and redirect yourself. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and you can find Anushka on Instagram at Anushka A. Sinha to get connected with her. If you want to talk about anything I mentioned, please reach out to me by email at lily@bethechangepodcast.org or on Instagram at Be the Change Media Network. As I mentioned, I am working hard on expanding Be the Change Media Network, which means bringing you more inspiring stories from amazing guests. But if you enjoyed this episode, I would really appreciate it if you could leave the podcast a rating and a comment, because it will help these stories to reach, educate, and inspire more people. And I would also love to hear your thoughts and feedback. Tune in for my next episode, but until then, be the change you wish to see in the world. Bye, guys.